We bless your holy name, our Lord, our Creator. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you loved us first. Thank you, Lord, you created us. Thank you, Lord, that you made us. Thank you, Lord, that you redeemed us. Thank you, Lord, that you formed us. Thank you, Lord, that you called us. Lord, may you bless us that we live a life that is worthy of your calling. Lord, without the Comforter, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without the power of resurrection, without the Spirit that is calling all of us from the deep, how can we do the deep things of God? How can we discern the deep things of God? How can we glorify the holy name, the name above all names, without the power of Holy Spirit? Father in heaven, we are here. Lord, may you fill all of us with your Spirit. The promise that is given to all of us, you told the disciples, you told all of us, for a while you will not see me. I go to my Father, your Father. But Lord, you granted us the Spirit to be a witness unto thee. Lord, may you bless us. Today, as we open our mouth wide, as we open the abundance of our heart wide, fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, we learn from your words of life. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, may you teach us not to hunger for knowledge, not to hunger for understanding this and that, but Lord, to hunger for righteousness of you. When we hunger for your righteousness, when we have this true, beautiful, divine hunger for your righteousness, Lord, you will always fill us. May you bless us not to be complacent by always seeking a way out. For your grace is sufficient. Your mercy is new. But Lord, your righteousness is what we seek, O Lord. You call all of us to be righteous. Lord, may you bless us to be filled today as we seek your righteousness by your Spirit, in your Spirit, through your Spirit, and for your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, that we live a life that is worthy of the calling, which is to bring souls unto thy kingdom, to be a meaningful, purposeful vessel in this life, to live a life where the Master is pleased. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to live a life that is pleasing to thy sight, to please the Holy Ghost, not to please the men and women, but to please the Lord and the Lord who dwells in the midst of his children. Thank you, Lord, that you called all of us in your truth. May you bless us as we gather here today to eat the bread of life and to drink into the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We ask for your mighty hand upon us to fill this place with your mighty rushing wind, to soak all of us in thy anointing of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be part of your ministry of reconciliation, redemption, according to your will and pleasure. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, my dear brothers and sisters. God bless you, dear brethren, joining from overseas. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. The question is, how do you bless? How do I bless the name of the Lord? How can you bless the name of the Lord? We often speak a lot of words because we all speak the same words. We say, Shalom, my sister. Shalom, Sister Johanna. When I say, Shalom, Sister Johanna, I'm telling her, let there be no confusion between us. Let there be no drift between us. For we are called to be filled with the fullness and goodness of the Lord. Shalom. Wholesome. We are united by the Spirit, by the faith, by the Lord who sacrificed his life for all of us. When I say Shalom, the Prince of Peace who destroyed everything, he granted us the peace, so I am giving you the same peace. And she tells me, I give you the same peace. Peace be unto you. That's the first word the Lord spoke when he appeared in the midst of his disciples when he was resurrected. Peace be unto you. The Lord gets angry whenever he sees something is compromising the peace that he bestowed upon his children. So what he say? He will not say peace to those things that are against his peace, divine. The Holy One would wage a war against all the wickedness, all the darkness, confusions, false doctrines, divination, confusion, chaos. He will go and wage a war. Not the way the world nations are doing by equipping themselves with weapons, missiles, nuclear power, but the Lord will load himself with the word. And what he does, he just launched the word. Speak the word. Phinehas took the spear and threw it. The prophets took the spear from the bottom of her heart and threw it from their lips, anointed by the Spirit. When the Lord called all of us, my words will be refined, will never go in vain, because the words are the path of the word. It makes the word complete. And for that reason, as long as we are under the banner of His love, staying inside the strong tower, we are part of the word. When we say, Lord, bless me to receive your blessings, the Lord would say, it is already there, go and take it. Lord, I cannot see, my whole life is surrounded with darkness, chaos, confusions, problems. Lord, can you show me a way? Then the Lord would say, you told me I am your way. Then what other way you want? Lord, I can't see the light in my tunnel. The Lord would tell, you said I am the light. Then which light you're looking for? If we cannot identify ourselves with God within us, we can never identify Him outside us. Because outside is already out of the tabernacle, out of the camp. Inside is where the flame is shining. So by God's grace, in the family of Judah, we have been traveling for the past few months. If you do not notice, that is how the Lord is leading us. It's not about going and studying the 10 plagues. Look at the way the Lord punished the enemies. Oh, let's go to the book of Revelation. The 7 plagues, the 7 vials of wrath. Let's go and look at the first vial, second vial. What is the bowl of wrath the Lord poured upon? Yes, there is a spiritual bridge between these two. But most importantly, what is the bridge? Why there is a bridge? When the Lord destroyed the whole earth, all the flesh, by the flood, as the surroundings, the environment was not in favor of Noah and family, as the flood increased, the ark was also increasing its standard. Amen? The more the Lord sent rain, the more the flood increased from the ground level. At the same time, the ark was always above the flood. The children of God would always above the hatred, above the darkness, above the confusion, above the destruction. How can we do so? Only when you build that ark exactly with the same wood what God told Noah. Only when you climb the mountain exactly with the same wood what Abraham told Isaac, carry this wood. Only when God told Moses and Aaron, build this ark of the covenant with this wood, gopher wood, acacia wood, bulrushes, whatever it is. The components, the ingredients of that food must be unleavened. The wood must be exactly what the Lord called you to carry. Amen? If not, that ark would never survive the flood. It would sink. The bottom of the ark will crack. It will sink. All the effort that we put to build that ark will be in vain. Why? Because that ark was not part of the wood. Whatever is not part of the word will be vain, will become vain, vanity. Destruction after destruction was the story of book of Old Testament. Flood, plagues, you could see the Lord was keep on destroying until the point he became silent. Which event made him to be silent? Calvary. 6,000 years of humankind that we read approximately from the time of Adam. 4,000 years of Old Testament. Amen. Then few hundred years of slavery, captivity, silence before the Lord came. 3 years of ministry.
death, dissension, ascension, resurrection. But on that Calvary, when the Lord was hanging on the cross for you and me, He did something. He did something, as we say, something happened, because it is holy, deeper in spirit. We can never say, I understood completely. For our life, the word complete means grace of the Lord is sufficient. In that sufficiency of the scripture, my life is complete. But God is beyond that. Amen? His greatness can never be measured. We can never say, I know God. I measured Him by length, width and breadth. And the Lord would say, come on, let me surprise you. On Calvary, our Savior, our Master, our friend, true friend. How many of you have true friends? You can say, I have friends. But how many of you have true friends? They won't speak to you every day. You may not even have communication with them regularly. But you know, there is a shoulder waiting for you to go and lean and cry. And you know, that friend will come and knock the door when you need him. Amen? The Lord has blessed us to experience the sample of His friendship by His creation. But no one can surpass His friendship. We are all the witness of Him, the small piece of the unleavened bread. But the unleavened bread, that bread of life, the true friend, He's bigger than all, mightier than all, sweeter than all, faithful than all. So our friend did something for us in Calvary. And because of that, something happened to the way God was executing His judgment. He became silenced. 2,000 years of grace. In this grace period, 7 church ages, the Lord is establishing, sending a prophet, taking. Sending a prophet, taking. Sending a prophet, taking. Amen? He already sent 7 and took 7. My brethren, He sent 7, took 7. The only thing that we are yet to witness is the 2 witnesses come and prophesy left and right for 1260 days. Amen? Anyone can stop them? Can anyone say, they were about to prophesy for 1260 days, but with our might and armies, we stopped them within 1259 days? No. 1260 is 1260. Amen? Whatever the number of days the Lord planned in their lives, whatever the number of days the Lord purpose that this wall must be built, 52 days, it shall come to pass. Why the Lord is so precise with number, precise with the time, is because He knows His grace is sufficient for you. Amen? Amen. Sufficiency is nothing more, nothing less. Whatever He promised, He must stick to it. Because He is almighty, righteous. Amen. So, the reason why we are meditating on the wrath of God is not to go and study, let's see what is going to happen to all those who stood against my Savior, my Master. Look at the way they are going to be destroyed. Ha ha! That is evil. That is not the wrath of God we are studying. Let's go look at the 10 plagues God sent to destroy Egypt. See, nobody can control the children of Israel. Look at what happened to them. Ha ha! That is not the laugh of Holy Spirit. It's the adversary of the evil. Flood, 10 plagues. Keep it there. Old Testament. Amen? The very first massive destruction was not the flood. You know? It was God casting Adam and Eve away from the Garden of Eden. That was the first destruction. The moment we were thrown out of the tree of life to be outside the Garden of Eden, that was the biggest destruction that happened to all of us. Sin entered. Death entered. So, the very first creation who faced the wrath of God, punishment of God, was His own creation. Adam and Eve, they were thrown out. The Lord also cursed the serpent. Amen? Since then, He destroyed again with a flood. He threw everything out, all the flesh in the water, destroyed, and He still took some remnant. A bit, 8, new beginning. Then, time goes on. From the family of Noah, Shem. From the family of Shem, Abraham. From the family of Abraham, Isaac. Promised son for the earthly generation. But the true promised son, we all know. The son of David. the Son of God, the Son, the Prince of Peace, our Savior who is the promised Son. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes, Judah. Now we are traveling in Judah, the family of Judah. We meditated on what happened to Nehemiah, what happened to Hezekiah. Amen. Now, when he went back to travel with Judas and Peter, because they were walking with Jesus Christ, our Savior was betrayed by His very own disciple, His own friend, who lifted His heel against Him. Amen? So, Jesus, two disciples, one, Peter, represents the rest of them as a sample, because everyone forsook Him and fled. Peter became the public spectacle. The name of Peter became a sign for the rest of the disciples. No one was sincere. No one was righteous. They all forsook Him and fled. Because the Lord told them, you are weak. Thou art weak, but in your weakness, My strength will be glorified. So He blessed them. Judas, on the other side, he took something that is completely nothing compared to the true life, but he was willing to betray his life for a piece of silver. Now we went back when Jesus Christ passed over the brook of Kidron and He went up Garden of Gethsemane, prayer, then He was arrested when Jesus said, this is the power of darkness, the time that I am in, the power of darkness is there, so you can arrest Me now. So, our Savior, Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of David, He passed over the brook of Kidron, then He went up to Garden of Gethsemane. That is how the Lord led us to David, King David, when He passed over the brook of Kidron with His people in bad foot, weeping, crying, because He was fleeing the city because of His son who took His position. Absalom. Amen. So this passing over brook of Kidron, the king himself passed over. That is the inspiration we link the bridge between David and Jesus. The Savior himself passed over brook of Kidron. The King of Kings himself passed over brook of Kidron with His disciples. David, King of Israel, himself passed over brook of Kidron, the dark valley, with barefoot, with His people who are loyal to Him, who are faithful to Him, because He told Ittai the same way Jesus told Peter. Ittai told to David, I will be faithful to you. I will go wherever you go. I will die for you. And he stood by his word. He followed David. What he received? When David assembled the army against the army of Absalom to take back the kingdom, he divided the army into three. One for Joab, one for his brother, the sons of Zeruiah, and one for Ittai. He gave 1/3 to Ittai. When our Lord said, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Only 1/3 will remain. Amen? 1/3 is a beautiful, beautiful proportion God told us, showed to us in the scripture. When Lucifer fell, he was able to take 1/3 of his army. Now, the faithfulness of Ittai to David, the lack of faith of Peter to Jesus, the insincerity and serving king in his own zeal, in his own mind, own understanding of the servant Joab, and the insincerity and the betrayal of the disciple Judas to Jesus. David, Joab, Ittai, Jesus, Judas, Peter. We are not comparing one to one. We are learning the inspiration just from the moment of event of passing over the brook of Kidron. So by God's grace, we meditated why the Lord allowed all these things in the life of David. We could see clearly there is always a woman behind all these troubles that we studied. Abner, Ishbosheth, they were together, but the concubine of Saul came in between Abner and Ishbosheth. Abner went into the concubine of Saul and the son got angry. They had a drift, broken. Their covenant was broken. By who? The concubine of Saul. Abner was angry. When the anger comes in, everything would be messed up. So Abner betrayed Ishbosheth. He wanted to have alliance with David. And as part of this deal, Michal was sent to the other side. And she despised David, she became barren. When the wife despised the husband, husband is not going to lie with her again, she is alone. Chapter 6, Michal is barren. Chapter 7, God gave a covenant to David. 6 chapter down the road, David fell to the transgression, to the sin of falling into the trap of Bathsheba. If Michal was faithful, so loving, kind, genuine to her husband, maybe David did not have to look for another woman in his life. We don't know. But what happened, whatever happened, everything was closely knitted together. So when you pull one thread, it pulls the entire garment. Amen? Unless the Lord cut the thread. So let's say this is my garment. The Lord tells me, this is your garment of salvation. The Lord says, always stand on this side. So over time, I stitch my garment with some other thread, my own understanding, my own interpretation. And the Lord says, this thread is available, acceptable for the world, for the beast, for the darkness to pull you to their side. And the Lord says, no one can come in the way of holiness, but you yourself, with your iniquity, you opened a dark window for someone to drag you. So the Lord would say, take my double-edged sword, cut that thread. If you do not cut that thread, someone will pull you in. When they pull you in, I am holy, I shall not dwell in darkness, I will take the garments back. Because his garment is holy, amen? The Holy Spirit, the Lord who clothed all of us in the garment of salvation, he will not let that garment to follow the wickedness, to follow the filthiness. His garment will be with him, amen? The way of holiness. So if I don't tell the Lord, Lord, I am wrong, cut this thread of me, cut this unwanted branch of me. If not, you, being the tree of righteousness, will be dragged by the branch to the other side, will become tree of death. And that thread, cutting of that thread, if we do not submit, you would be dragged down along with the thread when the Lord throw you out. He is not interested in throwing his children out. Amen? In the book of Ezekiel, God says, I don't take pleasure in the death of wickedness of people, but he takes pleasure in the destruction of wickedness. Do you hear me? Two things. God hates wickedness, but he don't take the pleasure in people dying for the wickedness. He says, come to life. Now, this is exactly the time the Lord has bought for all of us on Calvary. 2,000 years of all this purging, pruning, cleansing, cleansing, washing happening, and the Lord is waiting graciously. Let's do this graciously. He's waiting until the last soul jumps into the flock, into the camp. He will close the door. When he closes the door, no one can open. Amen? So during this period, what is your responsibility? What is my responsibility? If we do not have an answer, then the Lord would tell us, go and look at yourself in the mirror. Why I saved you? Why I planted you in the ministry of reconciliation instead of the times in the Old Testament? We are in 7 churches, amen? If we do not understand what happened to King David and his children, and his sons, most importantly, sons of the king, when the Lord called all of us my sons, my daughters, the King of Kings, call all of us my sons. Let's say David is standing here and telling all his sons, Absalom, Amnon, Solomon, everyone, he says, my sons, and his daughter, Tamar, my daughter. And our Savior, the King of Kings, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel, he is calling all his elect, the bride, the Lord who chose and ordained them and blessed them to have his name on the forehead. If he tells them, my sons, my kings, my saints, take these two sides. On one side, David had to go through a lot of things to be able to earn a name from the Almighty, my servant David. He will be a prince forever. The Lord has given so much promises to him. And he lost his sons. Amen? He lost his sons. His sons were killed. And our Savior, our Master, He allowed the righteous to be killed as martyrs, even in the seven church ages, to be insulted, persecuted, to be put into shame. And He allowed all these things. That is my burden. Why? Why, Lord, you allow all these things to happen after the Calvary, but before the Calvary, no one, absolutely no one, can lay their hands on God's servants. The very first murder it took was the killing of Abel. And the Lord called him the righteous blood of Abel, calling me from the deep, from the ground. So Cain, who killed his brother with the wrath, anger, jealousy, that he was not willing to see him alive anymore, he jumped over him and killed him. So the wrath of man jumped over the righteous blood of Abel. And on Calvary, the wrath of entire humankind, all the men, all the sin, all the darkness, it jumped over our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ. But the righteous blood of Abel was not sufficient for the remission of sins. There is only one who can do this. And He did it, what needs to be done. So now, 6,000 years. Let's go back to what the scripture told us. For God, 1,000 years as one day. So let's say, Lord created all things in 7 days, 24 hours, day and night. It is very clear in the book of Genesis. If we just look at the entire work of the Lord, 6 days, 6,000 years. Day 1, what happened to Adam? Day 2, the flood. Day 3, day 4, 4,000 years. Mark, our Savior, who was born to the royal family of Solomon and Nathan, to link his way, lineage back to King David. 5th day, 6th day, where are we now? Approximately 6,027 years, approximately. If you consider 4,004 BC, we are in 2024, about 6,028 years, whatever. But we are already on 7th day. Don't you see? 6,000 years, 6 days. Just compare it in terms of day. When the Lord told us, He will raise and build this temple again, and He will destroy the temple. Amen? He said, I will destroy and I will bring it back, build it back. In this journey, if you look at the wrath of God that fell upon every single day, when I say every single day, every single 1,000 year period, you will see how faithfully and how righteousness God was demonstrating to His children that I am who I am. But from the moment of Calvary, there is a change. He didn't change. He didn't change. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. But when our Savior, our Master came to the Calvary, carried all our shame, upon His shoulders, and He embraced the wrath of all of us upon Himself, something happened. Amen? Something happened. If we do not understand what is that something, we would be completely blindfolded of the wrath of God, mistaking it for the grace of God, being complacent in the mercy of God, thinking that we are very strong in the faith of God, assuming the Lord of the hosts has granted you the peace that is always keeping you safe and sound, we will be fooled. Wise virgins, foolish virgins, amen? Do you remember how many concubines David left when he left his household? How many? 10. Then Absalom took over the city. David and his people, they escaped. Amen? In order for him to manage the house, to maintain the house, he left 10 concubines. But what Absalom did to them? He received an evil counsel that if you go into the concubines of your father, it will be a great insult for your father. And at the same time, the whole city will know your power. And he did. And he did in the public sight. He went into the concubines of his father. Now you think, Abner went into the concubine of King Saul and the son got angry. Son went into the concubine of the father and the father, he held his peace. What happened to David? The David who killed the servants, the betrayer, who came and reported him of the death of King Saul, the death of Ishbosheth, the death of Abner. He was so furious, he killed them. But David was silent when things were going extremely wrong, tragic in his own household. We have to understand the covenant God gave to David in chapter 7 and the curse Prophet Nathan gave to David in chapter 12, the impact of these two, blessing and curse, covenant and the consequence of breaking the covenant. These two fell upon the head of David, both at the same time. So he was blinded but still could see. He was confused but still could, you know, take the right decision. He was being tossed and thrown. At the same time, God's promises were being fulfilled in his life. Same time. We have to understand this, because whatever that was not done in a perfect way by Abraham, by Noah, by David, by Joseph, by Solomon, there was one who came and did perfectly. The perfect fulfillment of God's word. The perfect salvation. The Lord who called all of us, be ye perfect because I am perfect. Be ye holy for I am holy. Our Savior, the King of Kings, the Mighty One of Israel, not Egypt, not the Mighty One of Benjamin, the Mighty One of Israel encompasses all as one. That is why we started with the division of two houses, house of Saul, house of David. Amen. And the Lord brought them together as one house, and David ruled over them all. Only then his fall became evident. Before that, he was in the house of Judah, fighting against the house of Saul. When the Lord brought them together, he became the king of Israel, king of Jerusalem. Then he started falling. Now turn your scriptures. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. There is a reason why we spend some time on 2 Samuel. What happened to David, his wives, his sons, his servants, and his counselors. Now keep this in your heart, not in your mind, in your heart. Turn to 37, book of Ezekiel. I will read from verse 21. Chapter 37, verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. It is very important, spiritually and also physically. One nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be the king to them all. You should pronounce Israel sometimes as Israel, so that you understand why the Lord named Israel like that. El Shaddai, Elohim, amen. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. For there can be only one kingdom remain. Amen. The prince of the world cannot exist when the prince of peace comes in as a king. There can be only one king. Verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places. If the place is called dwelling place, why are you saving me out of my dwelling place? What do you mean? Like, let's say you are safely staying in your house. I call you. Brother, don't worry. Don't worry. I will save you from your dwelling place. What do you say? Hello, it's my home. I'm safe here. When God gave a covenant to David, what he said? My servant, since the days of Moses, after the wilderness, I don't have a place to dwell. Can you build a house for me? Can you build a tabernacle for me? Can you build a temple for me to dwell in the midst of you? If there is no dwelling place for the Lord to dwell in the midst of you, the place where you are dwelling is a trap. It's a place of death. It's a tower of confusion. And the Lord says, I will save you from your dwelling place and to drag you from the place where I dwell, so that you can dwell with me. Promised land. Not just the promised land of Canaan and also the final rest that we will enter. But every day we have to ask the Lord, Lord, do you dwell in me? Is my heart free, completely free for you to take over? If you say the spirit of the Lord is liberty, then your heart must also be liberal, must also be free to be controlled by the spirit as he pleases. Amen? Now, wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. In the book of Nehemiah and the life of Hezekiah, we meditated on the importance of cleansing. If there is no cleansing, if the Lord did not clean the chambers, there is no sanctification. If there is no sanctification, there is no remission of sins. If there is no remission of sins, there is no the presence of the Lord soaking the tabernacle, then there is no work of the Lord. Cleansing, repentance, cleansing. If the Lord did not accept the repentance, then there is no cleansing at all. That's why I said in the beginning, I can say shalom, but if I didn't mean it, it would sound as shalom. Shalom. Not shalom. Shalom means nothing. Just roaming around, floating around, saying for the sake of saying. I go and speak evil of Sister Alma to Sister Lucy. And she don't know. And I come and tell you, shalom sister, I love you, God bless you. This shalom is shallow. This love is not the love of God. You should be sincere, truthful to your brother. My father taught me this when I was very young. If you have something to say to someone, the very first person to receive that word must be that person. On the face, my friend, what you did, I was hurt. I wanted to tell you this. Be truthful, reconcile. If they throw stones at you, it is worth it. It is worth it, rather than going around the back and telling other person, you know, this brother hurt me. But that one do not know that you told this to him. Backbiting, speaking things that is not the path of righteousness, is not the sign of God in you. Why I said that? If I could speak from that abundance of the heart, then in that abundance, I don't see the Holy Spirit, right? You don't see God is dwelling in you. If He is dwelling in you, let your A be A, nay be nay. Amen? That is exactly what Jonadab failed to do so. He deceived Amnon with flattery words, correct? He was not being straight. Joab was planning so many things to save the life of king. He was not being straight. His heart was not right in the sight of the king. Cunningness, too much intelligence, is evil compared to the ignorance of a child. Amen? So, God is examining all of this, not just in the kingdom of David, but including David himself. The judgment of the Lord begins from the house of the Lord. Amen? Now, keep this. Now you read what the Lord says. And David, my servant, Moses, my servant. When the Lord takes accountability, my brethren, it is very dangerous to go against David. You know why? God tells to all of us, hello, David, my servant. Amen? David, my servant. I created him. I formed him. I made him. I redeemed him. I called him. I will justify him. He says, I am who I am. He took David as part of his. Amen? Whenever the Lord, my, when the Lord says, the firstborn are mine. Israel is mine. My children are mine. The Lord says, mine. It's a very strong statement for the Almighty to say, mine. When the Lord says, my servant Moses, Miriam should keep her mouth shut. Amen? Why? The Lord said, my servant Moses. That's why the Lord came to tell Miriam, you are telling something about my servant. The Lord did not send anyone. He came and he asked Miriam, what did you say? And she became leper and thrown out. She could be right. You know, that is the beauty of it. She could be right, but not righteous. She could be correct, but not truthful. Because The way the Lord led David to fall is the biggest test for the entire city of Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, all the people who dwelt, lived in that time to witness the fall of David. When our Savior was crucified on the cross, it was the biggest test for all the disciples, all those who listened to his sermons on the mountain, the parables, everywhere. When they witnessed the fall of Jesus, they were like, oh no. What's happening? The seed that goes down will hit the bottom pit, not the bottomless pit. Will hit the pit until where the Lord wanted to drop it. Will hit it, will rebound. And that rebound will be mighty, will be ruthless, will be powerful, that nothing can stand in between when it rebounds. The resurrection of Christ, there is nothing to stop him on the head. He resurrected. Amen? The rise of David, no one can stop him. The rise of Moses, no one can stop him. But do not fall when you see the fall of someone. Even the fall of Lucifer is a big trap for all of us. What we see, we don't see. Our Savior was set to fall, amen? To rise. Correct? The king was set to lose his throne. For what? To gain it back. Amen? When the Lord do the cleansing, when the Lord allows people to get killed, when he allows destruction to take place, it will look like as if the Lord is not doing anything, silent, not speaking. Now people complain, right? The Lord is very silent to me, not speaking to me. The Lord is not answering my prayers. I don't know why. Then what is the meaning of the scripture? The God who keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. Amen? Remember this verse. Now you tell what you said again. You will feel like a betrayer. Oh no. Scripture is here. What am I doing? Amen? And the Lord told all of us, you are like the apple of my eye. He said that, right? But what did he say? Lord, you forsook me. Disciples forsook Jesus. Jesus would never forsake his disciples. He even prayed for Peter, even before he threw him into the stone. He told Peter, I have prayed for thee. That is the biggest covenant for Peter. What does he want? Jesus told him, I have prayed for thee. If Peter would ask him, to whom you are praying? You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my Alpha and Omega. To whom you are praying? I must pray for you. If I don't speak the words of life, being the life, then who will bring that life to come to pass? That's why when God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap for me, but I found none. So he said, my fury will go on until it enters into rest. Calvary is where the wrath of all of us, the sin that brought the wrath of men, the punishment of all our transgressions, iniquities, he went and stood in the gap. Amen? Not touching the ground, not touching the sky, he was hanging. Do you remember how Absalom was killed? I cannot read all the chapters. But I pray that you meditate on all these chapters. Absalom was hanging between the oak tree. And Joab went and saw why he is hanging. Somebody go and kill him. Everybody refused. No! He is son of the king. We will never lay our hands on him. And Joab said, move. He took the weapon and he pierced him and he killed him. Who? Joab who killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. Joab who killed Abner, who made peace with the king David. The same Joab, finally, he reached a state whereby he killed the son of the king. And before that, there was a strong notification by all the messengers in that time. Do not do anything harm to Absalom. When the son was killed, what David said? Absalom, Absalom, my son. Amen? Father cried for the son who went wrong. True, he went in the wrong way. He was deluded. He was beautiful with a fair countenance. He wanted to take revenge for his sister. And he started going in a wrong direction, falling, into a deep state where he went against his father. He even sent armies to attack David. Amen? But when the son was killed, David did not celebrate. He said, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son." He cried. He wept. Father cried for the son. Amen? Son was hanging between the earth and the heaven. In the oak, in the midst of the oak. He got stuck in the wood. Son cried to the father, hanging on the wood between heaven and earth. Jesus Christ cried to the father, "My God, my God, why you have forsaken me?" They are not the same. They are not the same. But look at the things happened in the life of David. Look at the things happened in the life of David. And look at what happened to Abraham and Isaac. God, our Almighty, who is faithful, he did not let Abraham to see the death of his son. Amen? On the mountain, he told Abraham, "Climb, come. Come with the wood and the knife, come. Bring the sacrifice." He came. But there was no scar on the body of Isaac. God chose a ram to be sacrificed on his stead. Amen? In his place. But the same God allowed David for his son to be killed just like that, in a shameful way, on the road outside somewhere, killed by his very own servant. When Jesus called all the disciples, they would think that they are doing a service to the God. They will take you out of synagogue and they will kill you. Right? He said, "Who is the enemy? Absalom or the lack of understanding?" If you look at 2 Samuel, take out all the flesh and blood, my brethren. Remember every single name as a thing. Do you hear me? Thing, not a soul, a thing. Then you study the chapter. You will see what is the service to God and what is not a service to God. Now I will give you an example. David killed the young man from Amalekites who came and said, "Saul is dead. I stomped on his chest and I killed him." David said, "Come here. What is the place? Ziklag. Kill this guy." One of the young men jumped over him, killed him. Right? So the word Ziklag reminds us someone mocked Saul because Saul was presenting himself as an enemy to David. And David got angry because someone mocked his friend and he killed him. Right? If I tell you the same story, David was in the palace. The same young man came and told this to Joab, because now you all have a negative shade of Joab. That is what I want you all to see. Now you all think Joab is an insincere servant. He takes judgment in his hand. He goes and kills people left and right. So now if I tell the same story, that young man went and told Joab. Joab was very angry. He killed him. And the other two people, the servants of King Ishbosheth, the chief captains, they jumped over King Ishbosheth. They beheaded him and they took his head, came and told Joab, "Joab, see, Ishbosheth was killed." And Joab got angry. He killed the both of them in Hebron. Now, what you would say? "Joab, come on. This bloodthirsty man, killing everyone inside the house, killing everyone outside the house, he's completely ruthless. He has gone crazy, right?" But what David did was seen as righteous thing to do so. But what Joab did was seen as evil thing to do so. How do you discern? How do I discern? How do I discern? On one side, the wrath of man praise God, the scripture says. On the other side, wrath of man worketh not to the righteousness of God. How do I discern? And God said, people say, "I hated Esau, I loved Jacob." The Lord says, "My ways are not your ways." Do you say, "My ways are not equal"? The Lord says, "Let me not visit you." Scripture. The more we grow in our faith, you will start hunger for righteousness. Not for grace, not for mercy. It is all part of it. But righteousness, you know what does it mean? If my father come and tell me, "My son, if you speak evil of your mother, I will cane you 10 times in this place." Okay? If I am someone who seek forgiveness, grace and mercy from my father, I go to some corner, send him a letter. "Father, please forgive me. I won't do this again. I did something wrong. Forgive me. Give me a chance that I won't do it again." That is you seeking, have this hunger for grace and mercy and the love of your father, so that you can reconcile back. That is this level. That is one more level. You know what you do? You will take off your shirt, go and stand in the place where you will be caned. It's going to be painful. The Lord will take the cane. The problem is, He is righteous. If He said, I will cane you 10 times, He cannot say, okay, I will cane you 9 times. He already spoken the word, right? He would not spare anyone, my brethren. That is where we are going. If we don't understand that, we would never understand what happened to David. If we can't understand what happened to David, we can never understand what is happening to us. You stand in the place, exactly the place where the Father told you, I want you to be here. Go to the plain. I will speak with you there. He will take the cane and He will punish you. One, you stand and you wait. Patience, endurance, long-suffering. Then you will see the fruit of the Spirit kicks in you. If you cannot bear 3 canes, then the Lord will bring you other fruit. If it doesn't sufficient, other fruit. But my brethren, within the fruit of the Spirit, your grace is sufficient. You will endure. The Lord says, I will endure. The Son who says, I will endure by standing on my foundation. I know He is my Son. Amen? I know they are my children. This is called having this hunger for righteousness. You know it's not going to be easy. You know you may lose your faith. You know you may go through sufferings, persecution. But you know you have to stand in the place where you are called to stand. When you do so, you will feel the righteousness of God in your heart. Lord, I bless your holy name. I will do this again. That is exactly what Abraham did. God told him, come to this mountain, kill your son. If God told Abraham, come to the mountain, jump from the mountain, Abraham says, here I am, I'm coming, as long as you don't touch my son. Correct? He will go and kill himself. He will go and offer his life for his son. But the Lord says, no, I know you love your son more than yourself. Bring him. He went there, stood there with the knife and the wood, holding on to the faith. God, who created me, who made me, who redeemed me, who called me, He knows what is good for me. So blessed be His holy name. Because children of God cannot die. Amen? Cannot die. My brethren, let's say this is the righteous hand of God. Righteous hand of God. Okay? Can this righteous hand can strike another righteous vessel? No. Because it is His righteousness in that vessel. God cannot strike His children. Amen? He sent adversary. He allowed them to be persecuted, to be suffered. But He cannot strike His children. He cannot. He allowed them to be struck. But then His righteousness was not there. He sent plagues. Destroy. Why? He can't see Himself there. God cannot see. That is why He said, Moses, that man stood in between and he turned my wrath away. So Moses was nothing but a simple example of what Jesus can do on Calvary. Moses turned the wrath of God for a moment. Jesus turned the wrath of God for grace. And that grace is sufficient. All scripture is sufficiency. And you and me will be saved in that sufficiency. So God said, if not for my servant Moses, I would have consumed the entire Israel. But he also cannot do it. Why? He promised Abraham, I will establish a generation forever. He told David, your throne will be established forever. Still, David was completely confounded. When his son took the throne, he was weeping, crying. He was fleeing from his son, assuming that they all would get killed. My brethren, that brook of Kidron was nothing but the journey of darkness, blindness of David. Because for a moment, he forgot what God told him, I will establish your throne forever. Your household forever. If that word stands for true, no one can kill David. But still, he had to fulfill what God cursed him in chapter 12. That is where I am coming at. If you understand 7 and 12, if you apply it on your life, you would understand the verse, everything work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose, not your purpose. Not my purpose. His purpose. Known only to Him. David knew that purpose. He held God. Now, book of Ezekiel 37 presents this beautiful promise that God called David my servant, and he says, shall be king over them. Only then the son of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, can give the name to David. David, you are the prince forever. How can David be prince forever? You read this. And they shall have one shepherd. There is only one good shepherd. Amen. David was also a shepherd before he was called to be the king. Our Savior was also a shepherd before he became the glorious Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Seated at the right hand of the Father, having dominion, power and authority over all. Amen. Over all. And they shall dwell, they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given them unto Jacob my servant. Now you see, the Lord is going one by one, peeling the layer one by one. David, you are from Judah. Judah, you are from Jacob. Oh, Jacob, Jacob my servant. Wherein your fathers, who are your fathers? Isaac and Abraham and Shem, Noah, all the way back to Seth and Adam. Amen. And they shall dwell therein even they and their children and their children's children forever. Now you remember the covenant of God in chapter 7. And my servant shall be their prince forever. Amen. Now you see me. Ezekiel at the center, book of 2 Samuel on the left, and the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John on your right. But among these four gospels, I am going to take one gospel for us to focus. Book of John. Because the book of John is where what happened to the Holy One of Israel, Mighty One of Israel, the King of Israel, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is beautifully elaborated in the book of John. Then it also so beautifully reconciled in the book of Revelation. Because the wrath of God must come to a place where the Lord says, my fury is at rest. Because he spoke in the book of Isaiah, until my fury is at rest, my hand will be stretched still. My anger is still there. Until my fury is at rest. When the Lord says, I will give you rest, you will enter into my rest. You should understand from where we are escaping. You are not escaping from the men or the principalities of the world. My brethren, we are escaping from his fury. Fear not the man who can only destroy your body, but fear him who can destroy both your soul and your body. And the Lord told clearly, don't just fear these little things. I am more scarier than them. That's what he says. I am more furious than them. That's what he says. Fear me, fear my fury. Enter into my rest. And the Lord says, my fury is at rest when my children enter into my rest. It will come to an end. Amen. It will come to an end. But where it started, how it travels, it is the desire of us to study in this sermon series. Betrayal of Christ, betrayal of David. Sacrifice of Abraham, sacrifice of David. Betrayal happened to Jesus, sacrifice happened to us, Jesus. Amen. Now you read. 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Forevermore. The temple Solomon built, the gates were broken. Do you remember? The temple was damaged by all the enemies. And Nehemiah came and see, he was weeping, Lord, bless us to rebuild the temple, rebuild the gates. Amen. Hezekiah was defending the city of Judah. He said, Lord, bless us to defend these walls. All those things, the Lord allowed them to be destroyed. But still he says, my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Forevermore. What is your sanctuary, my brethren? What is my sanctuary? What is the sanctuary of this church? And all those over his brethren. And we say, one bride, one city of Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem. What is our sanctuary? What we are building? The spiritual priesthood. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, to sanctify Israel. Not simply bless Israel, help them to grow in the faith of Israel. No, sanctify Israel. Sanctification. When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. You can never separate the word sanctuary from sanctification, my brethren. Never. Sanctification, sanctuary, it goes in hand together. Now, 37 is towards the end of the book of Ezekiel. How many chapters? 48. And we are in 37. It's where God tells, my servant David will bring your kingdom into one and he will be the prince forever. And we would say, prince forever? Come on. Last two Sundays, we are studying what you did to our friend David. God, what is this? Prince forever. What we see, we don't see. If you read 2 Samuel, and if you read this, you will be, is it the same David, or maybe there is one more David? Like Phinehas, there are two Phinehas, there are two Shemaiah, there are two Tamar, there are a lot of Joseph. There are many people who have the same name. Maybe there is one more David. There is only one David. When the Lord allowed things to happen in the life of David, Abraham went through all, not just for his son, but also for his wife Sarah. Amen? Never forget the role of Sarah in the life of Abraham. Jacob, what he did for his wife, never forget. Jesus, what he is doing for his bride, we can never forget. We are experiencing it. And what David did, or what David endured for what he did for his wife, we can learn. Even the righteous judge, not in the righteousness of God, the man who was appointed to be the general, Pontius Pilate, who had the power to crucify Jesus, his wife had a dream about Jesus, and he told him, this man is righteous, do not lay your hand upon him. And he also had the same conviction, he washed his hand, my brethren. But after this, he said this word, you want to crucify your king. I wash my hand and this blood from my family. David told Joab, whatever you did to these people, it shall rest upon your hand. I wash my hand. I exclude my family from your sin. And that man was still labeled as a righteous man by the scripture. So, if Book of Ezekiel, Book of Isaiah, where we studied chapter 26-27, what happened to the life of Nehemiah, King Hezekiah. Now we are standing at the place where Absalom has reigned over Israel. In a way, he is not supposed to do so. Father, King David, he fled from his presence with his people, with some faithful people with him, Ittai. A good example of what he said and he lived, like how Ruth said and she lived, and he with Ittai and people were faithful to him. Now, he went up to Mount Olives. After this, things going to happen. I'm not going to read all the chapters. By God's grace, we will just cover as the Lord leads. Now, we have new characters coming in. Hushai, Shimei, Ethiopel, Adonijah. The Lord will lead us. But we stopped there because I stopped when Jesus passed over the Brook of Kidron and all the band of men came with weapons and tools, all those mighty weapons, with Judas to come and arrest Jesus Christ. Amen? And Jesus said, my friend, wherefore art thou come? Do it quickly. And this is where Jesus is standing and all the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter, everyone fled. He is alone. They arrested him. Amen? Now, David and people fled from Absalom. Jesus was alone. Everybody fled from him. He was arrested. Now, what is left? The Calvary. Correct? Calvary and judgment of men upon the righteous judge. Now David is here hiding from his son, and now the son is going to have a lot of counsel to complete his anger and wrath. Now we leave 2 Samuel as of chapter 15. We seal it there. We will revisit as the Lord leads. Now what I want you to remember is the names. David is still alive. Solomon was born. The first child of Bathsheba and David was killed, not by anyone, by God himself. Joab is still alive. His brother Abishai is still alive. And Abner is gone. Ishbosheth is gone. Many people got killed so far. Now David has crossed the brook of Kidron. Now he went up to Mount Olives. Now we leave him there. Now our Savior, our Master, he passed through the brook of Kidron with his disciples. He went to Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. He came out. He was arrested. Now disciples are not with him. Peter is following Jesus. Now we keep it there. Jesus is going with those who arrested him because he allowed this to happen. Do not forget when the Lord said, "I am he," everybody went backward. They fell to the ground. And the Lord said, "Okay, come and arrest me." Then they arrested him. So now Jesus is taken away from the disciples. Peter is still following him because he loves him. It's just he did not have the measure of faith for him to do what Ittai did to David. He hasn't got it yet because the Lord told him, he refused. He refused to accept what the Lord told him. That denial happened before itself, not just when he was thrown into the valley. But he is following Jesus closely. And he was questioned, he betrayed. Second, third, he betrayed. We leave it there. Jesus, Judas, Peter, David, Joab, Ittai. We leave it there. We will take the blessed inspiration again. Now we are at the prophetical books that separate these two events. 2 Samuel on this side, Book of John on this side, and now we have the center, Book of Ezekiel and Book of Isaiah. Brother Rinpoche, read this for us. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 6 to 21. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 6 to 21. Thank you, brother.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time on forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of these people cause them to ill, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burns as a fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, The land is burnt up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall devour on the left hand and not be satisfied. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh. Together they shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 9 is very important. That's why I could not go to chapter 10 without reading these verses. In all this, his hand is stretched out still. Amen. When God told Moses, "My servant, stretch out your hand." And he had to keep his hand stretched out until the division of the sea was completed. It was not just like this. It was over time. The Lord took time to separate the sea into two so that he can make the people to see the dry land. Until then, Moses had to keep his hand stretched. Amen? The Lord told Moses, raise your arms. Do not lower your arms. Raise your hand and keep it there until my servant Joshua defeat all the Amalekites, the enemies, on the field. But Moses, you can't do it alone. I will send you one to your right, one to your left. They will carry your hand. Amen? Do not lower down your arms. Just keep it raised. It's a physical representation of what the Lord says. I know I can do this without your arms, but I chose you to be my hand. And for the people to see that I am with you, I am in you, I want you to keep your hands raised. So that everybody will see the same Moses who said, I'm not eloquent, he don't have to be eloquent. As long as he obeys, keep his mouth shut, obey the word of the Lord, keep his hand, whatever the Lord says, do whatever he says, the Lord will see his people through. If Prophet Isaiah thought, I'm going to be a prophet, I'm going to get a beautiful garment that no one has ever seen. The Lord said, 3 years, walk naked. He said, I did accordingly, Lord, what you said. The servants of God, what we learn from Abraham, David, all these beautiful testimonies of Jesus Christ, because everything that glorifies the name of the Lord, that glorified the name of the Lord until the last breath, it testifies the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? The testimonies of Jesus called the testimonies of Jesus because you can see Jesus in them. You can see the path of the word in them. You can see his righteousness in them, his grace in them, his mercy in them, his love in them, the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in them. Only then that sanctuary is sanctified for God to say, I dwelt in them, you saw me dwelling in them. By doing so, he or she was able to glorify my name. Then you can say, Lord, I bless your holy name. This is the meaning of that word. How can I say, I'm going in a car or bus and taxi, Lord, I bless your holy name. And the Lord say, come, tell me how. Not just like that. You know, I woke up today, beautiful sunlight. Wow, what a beautiful nature. Lord, I bless your holy name. Whether you bless his name or not, his name, his holy name. Now the question is, how you bless his holy name? Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether you say it or not, he is holy. He is almighty. He is who he is. Without you uttering the words. But if I say, Lord, I bless your holy name, it means, Lord, I surrender myself. Help me, humble me, and Lord, teach me that I may become your sanctuary. When you dwell in me, your name is glorified through my life. Lord, I, this name of this soul, bless your holy name, for your name is on my forehead. Amen? Bless your holy name. Remember this. Why? Adam, the Lord took Noah from the family, and Noah, Shem, fled. There was a destruction, and the Lord called Abraham. Through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Lord called Israel. And during this process, the Lord sent plagues. So flood and plagues, those are the two big words that you see in the Old Testament. Flood, massive destruction. Plagues,
10 different types, as if the Lord was sending flavor of His wrath to tell the people of Egypt, oh, you are worshipping sun? Wait, I will darken the sun. Oh, you are worshipping fish? Wait, I will kill all the fish. Whatever they were holding on to, He was smoting the yoke and was breaking the yoke. 10 plagues. He killed the firstborn. And we know who is the firstborn. And we are called the church of the firstborn. Amen? Now, from Israel, Judah, and from Judah is where we are focusing on this beautiful soul, David. Because this journey from Judah to David and from David to our Savior, Jesus Christ, is beautiful. First Adam, last Adam, during the multiple generations came and went, the Lord was doing all that He had to do for the Calvary to come to pass. Correct? If not, if there was no Calvary, the wrath of God would consume all, because He is righteous. So when He say, if in my righteousness, if I am going to destroy all, what should I do in my everlasting mercy and loving kindness for my children? Okay, the tree of righteousness, we completely manifest the word in our Savior, our Master, the only Savior, and He took all for us. Amen? He took all for us. Amen. Father and Son, this is the main pattern our God followed in the Old Testament. Father, Son, fathers. Father, Son, forefathers. Now Judah, David, David, Jesus. Up to here you could see there is a physical chain of family history, genealogy. Father, Son, Father, Son. Now, let's turn your Bibles to book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 12 to 21. Verse 12 to 21. I read this. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, receive every single word, my brethren. Because our salvation, our life, is because of what our Savior did. What He did and why He did and how He did. When we understand it completely, you will understand what is the meaning, the true divine meaning of soul burden. By trespassing grievously, whatever that grieves the Holy Ghost is gone. Then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof. What? Break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls. You see how righteous the God whom you serve. I don't care if it is Noah or Prophet Daniel or my righteous man Job. They can only save their very own soul by the righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause the noisome beast to pass through the land and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men are in it, as I live. Whenever the Lord says, as I live, you must understand He is very serious. He is very serious and very angry and very concerned about something. He says, as I live. Lord, you live forever. Yes, I know. As I live, whatever I say, stand forever. Amen? Not for that particular time. He says, as I live. What I said is applicable to every single soul, every single day, forever. He said, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, and they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. I don't care whether you are David the king, or Daniel the prophet, or Job the righteous man. He said, I will inquire, visit every soul according to the deeds, actions, words, life in that soul. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Just try to imagine this. The Lord said, I will call a sword and I will tell the sword, hey sword, just go and go and kill all. You just try to imagine this, how it will look like. Does it make sense? As if the Lord says, the sword is flying and come, and the Lord says, hey sword, kill this man. The sword goes and kills him. Words. And the Lord says sword, he can say spoken word, words uttered by the Spirit, because the most dangerous thing, the most dangerous plague that God can send is fill his vessel with his Spirit and tell the vessel to speak. Because what the vessel speaks, the Lord will say, it is not he that who speaks, it is me who I speak through him. When the voice is the voice of God, when the lips utter the words of God, that nothing can stand before that word. Amen? That is why the two witnesses are very dangerous. When they come, they are not going to take the machine gun. They will load their tongue, fill their heart, will start shooting, speaking. And that bullet can never be stopped by anyone. And there is no bulletproof made for those words. It will do what it does have to do. Because here, you should see the transition. A sword, it's like I say, one of the apostles came and preached and the Lord baptized 5,000 souls. Praise the Lord. A sword. If I say, the apostle came and preached, then you know what it represents. Amen? The word of the Lord came unto me saying, the sword shall never depart from the house of Judah. Not a sword, not a Lord, the Lord, the word, one, Savior. Amen? He is not a Savior, he is the Savior, because you will see the transition in the next two chapters. A sword becomes the sword later. Now, these three men were in it. As I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Man and beast, man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel and Job were it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness. There is no other righteousness other than the righteousness of God himself. Amen. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. So now, where we are today, the flood, because there was only one flood, not multiple floods, 10 plagues, yes, we remember the 10 plagues. Now we are hearing this word, four sore judgment. It's in plural, not the judgment. Four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. And what are those four? Sword, famine, pestilence and beast. Now, this is what we read in the book of Ezekiel concerning how the Lord sees. When David did something with Bathsheba, the Lord knows David, my son, man after my own heart, king of Israel, prince forever, because he has spoken of him so many things. And still, the Lord strike the child of David. Amen? Now, in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is chapter 18, let's read that verse, so that we can complete this understanding of how the Lord deals fathers and sons. If we do not receive it completely, we cannot understand the flow of God's pattern. Father and sons, father and children, children and the father. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That word is not simple, like a simple promise. Every denomination celebrates the verse. John 3:16. But behind that promise, do you see the pain, the suffering, the sacrifice, the punishment, the chaos, the destruction, the plague, the flood, the righteous blood shed on the ground? Before the Lord said that word, for God so loved the world, gave His only Son. Why? Why? Let's read this. Chapter 18. Brother, can you read this for me? Chapter 18. Verse 5 to 17.
Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 5 to 17. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who is a robber, or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains, or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, not restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abomination, if he has exacted usury, or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live if he has done any of these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live.
Amen. Now, father-son in chapter 14, father-son in chapter 18. Do not look at these words in physical sense. Do not look at these words in physical sense. Taking the wife of neighbor. We can say, okay, I know what happened to David. He took Bathsheba from Uriah. It's not just the physical sense. I want all of us to meditate on these verses of chapter 18. The Lord will show us things in excellence way. Because the word of God is not limited to the time or the people. It's life, amen? It's life. The Lord says, if I can remain in my righteousness in this way, only then I can also redeem you all through the atonement, the sacrifice, the annulment, what our Savior did on Calvary. Remember these four words from the four judgments. We know 10 plagues and we know the 7 bowls of wrath. But remember these four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. The sword, famine, peace and pestilence. When the Lord saved the people of Israel, more than 70 souls, when Joseph invited Jacob and his brethren, they were about 70, then they multiplied. But the Lord saved them from what? From famine. There is no food, the flesh cannot live. Correct? If there is no scripture, there is no truth. If there is no revelation of the word of the Lord, If there is no spiritual bread of life, we will die. So our Savior had to come and take the position He is supposed to take and give us the bread of life for us to live. To help us to live in this period spiritually rich, spiritually filled, maybe physically famine. It's fine, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Beast, pestilence, that's what we will focus in the book of Revelation as the Lord leads. Now look at the life of David. You would see the number one having dominion in 2 Samuel. Correct? You would see sword everywhere. Every chapter, there is a bloodshed. Someone was killed by a spear or a sword, killed, beheaded. Even there was a place called the Field of Sharp Swords. When Abner and Joab, they were actually playing a game of death of young men. So, the Lord even cursed David through his prophet Nathan. Sword will never depart from your house. You will be in battle forever. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, what we read, focusing on how the Lord examines us spiritually and how He visits us for us to stay on course. Amen? He is not rejoicing in the punishments, but He's telling us this is how I hold on to my righteousness. Amen? Father, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do you remember the scripture? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, let's remember what our brother read. Provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the admonition of the Lord's word. Now, I want to read a few verses before we go there. Genesis chapter 34, verse 7. I read this. Genesis chapter 34, verse 7. Last Sunday, we read that verse when Jacob was very angry with his wife because she envied her sister, for she was barren. She could not give birth to a child for her husband. And Jacob was very angry and he told her, am I God instead? I don't have authority over the fruit of your womb. Now, chapter 34, look at the anger between fathers and sons. Verse 7, chapter 34, verse 7, I read this. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. True. That thing ought not to be done. True. The scripture also says, give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, I will repay. God had said that. Now there is father in the household who is Jacob. Do you see, Jacob did not take it lightly. What the two sons did to take revenge for their sister who was raped by the Shechem. And they went and killed this man. You bring this again to the life of Absalom, who took justice in his hand, who killed Amnon because Amnon forced himself against a sister, Tamar, right? Now David is here, Jacob is here. Remember, David, father of Absalom, who killed his son. Jacob is the father of these two sons who killed the king because their sisters were raped, right? Father was angry with the son. He even cursed Reuben when he blessed all his 12 sons before the last breath of his life. He scolded the sons for their violence. He did not forget in the very last chapter before Jacob died. He did not forget. He remembered the violence, right? Now you read 1 Samuel chapter 20. Verse 29-30. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 29-30. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there, and now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away. I pray thee and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. This is a request Jonathan answered Saul. Who is Jonathan? The son to Saul. He is speaking to father with reverence and honor, in truth and in love. He is requesting him. But what the father did? Verse 13. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, and for he shall surely die. He shall surely die. Look at the way the father scolded, shouted at his son. And the scripture says in Ephesians 6:4, provoke not your children to wrath. But Jonathan stood for David until the last breath of his life. He was also got killed, but he stood loyal to his father. Now on one side, Jacob was angry. He cursed his two sons, but that was seen to be righteous. On the other side, Saul was also angry. He was cursing Jonathan, but there was no righteousness in what he spoke. So, which anger can be justified? Can we say, Lord, teach me to be angry that is acceptable to thee? The Lord say, come here. Your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. What anger you are referring to? The Lord say, you are called to hate the things that I hate. Stop there. Stop there. You are not called to hate anyone, any people. Stop there. Let the word of God do its job. He will get it done. Now, Joshua chapter 9, verse 19 to 20. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath upon us, because of the word which we swear unto them. When I was reading this verse, I remembered what the Lord spoke in book of Psalm and also in the book of prophetical books, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Remember this verse. How can the Lord swore in his wrath? In my wrath, I swore, they shall never enter into my rest. Because he can't do this in his love, correct? Because his love, how can he say, in my love, I will kill you? No. In my wrath, he destroys. In his love, he restores. Amen? The flesh must be destroyed. The wickedness must be destroyed. Things must be hated. Amen? Book of Proverbs taught us. Now, remember those seven things the Lord hates, and the four sore judgments, and the 10 plagues, and the 7 bowls of wrath, you will see a beautiful, constant pattern of how God sees and how God does things. The last verse as we close, Numbers 14:18. We are still in book of Ezekiel. We will continue as the Lord leads. Numbers 14:18. Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering. What? I thought the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Surprise! The Lord is long-suffering. For God is Spirit. We are called to worship Him in Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, the Lord is long-suffering. Lord, why are you long-suffering? For you, for me, for His soul, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. What? You just said you are great in mercy, and now you are telling me, and no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Unto the third and fourth generation. 430 years Israel were in captivity before the Lord called Moses to bring them out of Egypt. Amen? Around 430 years is approximately 4 generations, correct? Even if you bring the number 120 years of maximum lifetime. It's not just a number. And the Lord says, I will visit your iniquity until the third and fourth. Now what Razoel read, if the father provoking the children to grow in wrath, vengeance and anger, that children will become a father in second generation. And that father will do the same to next generation. Someone needs to stand up and face the consequence of the Lord to endure His chastening, to break His curse and to turn His wrath away. Amen? Someone should stop this generational curse. Right? Generations forever. Death entered. Death is reigning over throughout all the generations. Someone should go instead and embrace all the wrath to turn the corner, to turn the death to life. Amen? The Lord says, I am great in mercy. Thank you, Lord. I am gracious. Thank you, Lord. Wait. I am by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Oh, now I finished. Lord, it's too much. Yes, His grace is sufficient. The Lord will guide us. We are in Ezekiel chapter 14 and 18. But what we read before that? Untempered mortar. The wall daubed with the untempered mortar shall fall. It happened in the life of David, my brethren. It happened in the life of everyone. It will happen in the life of us today. If our wall is daubed with untempered mortar, we shall fall. If the Lord raises you back, blessed be His holy name. If you want to remain where you are, it's your choice. The Lord will guide us as we continue to travel with Him in His word, in this fountain of life, the river, the sweet river. Let's all stand as I close. Our Lord, our God, thank you Lord that you are called the root and the offspring of David. Thank you, Lord, that you are called the branch from the stem of Jesse. Thank you, Lord, that you are the root of our church. You are the head of this ministry. You are the head of the body of Christ. Lord, you are everything that we want to become, to conform to your image, to live a life where your word is manifesting the life in our life, for your spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And Lord, may you bless us to learn from your mighty servants, because the Lord who is mighty in battle was with them and was in them. And for that reason, O Lord, those servants of God, they were mighty in battle. Lord, you call all of us to be holy. Lord, we are not holy without you. We are not perfect without you. We are not righteous without you. Lord, may you sanctify our hearts. May you bless us, Lord, to keep this sanctuary as a place for you to dwell. Lord, for you to say, I dwell in the midst of my children. And there is a wall of fire around them to prevent them, to protect them from all the beasts, famine, all the swords of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. May you teach us, Lord, to apply the blood of Christ unto the doorpost of our heart to escape from all things to come. We bless your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Israel, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Lord who died for all of us in Calvary, our dear friend, our true friend, who showed us what do you mean by agape love. We bless your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you.